Welcome in to the CHGO White Sox Podcast, presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook. Download the app today and use promo code CHGO when you sign up. Welcome into Studio A of our CHGO offices here in the West Loop of Chicago. I'm Sean Anderson, your host. Follow me on Twitter at Sean_W_Anderson. Alongside me is the full house, the normal CHGO White Sox crew. We got Vinny Duber on the far left. You can follow him on Twitter at Vinny Duber. And the man in the middle, Herb Lawrence.
Hello.
You sure you want to be wearing Luis Robert?
Yeah.
What's the hustle meter on that one?
He doesn't have one. Sorry. It's hit, power, run, and field.
You can follow him on Twitter at @EchnerWall23. He's our CHGO White Sox community leader. And what's up to the chat? We got the Three Musketeers as Josh. Thumbs up, thumbs down, Three Musketeers.
Well, bad. Bad candy.
Bad candy.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of
it's
that.
It's fine.
Or
it's
Milky
not
Wall.
The best candy. Mickey, but
yeah,
it's a movie, right? Too.
Well, yeah, it was a book.
It was a
originally,
book.
Oh, yeah,
a book? Yeah, they're right.
Okay. Way back in the 1700s or something like
yes.
that. Yeah. No, I was
Dumont,
saying.
Dumont, right?
So you're wearing the Alexandre Dumont. You're wearing the glasses today.
Yes.
So I have been, you know, I've been vision impaired since I was a young kid.
Same.
And I'm looking here, and I'm like, wow, I'm the only one up here not wearing glasses right now. How
I didn't
that?
Even realize. Look at you, Herb.
I mean, Herb's
always
wearing glasses.
Yeah.
I'm blind.
You're a contact guy?
Yes. Yeah.
You daily
contact
guy?
Lenses. Huh? Monthly.
Monthly, yeah. Okay.
These are brand new. It's May 1st, so there
hey,
you go.
Look at you. I'm a daily guy. Just the eyes were a little tired. We're cooperating today. You're not a contact guy?
My contacts are the big toric lenses. The what are those things called? I have astigmatism, so they're huge.
Yep, I have those. That's
they
what I'm
irritate my eyes so many times. I just don't like it. I would rather have like a LASIK, as Josh is talking about, or something like that eventually. And I don't have a convergence like you guys and rest of the people who are watching have. Like, my eyes are like different vision. So if I look at you, I'm usually looking at you with my left eye.
Oh, like one eye's worse than the other?
Yeah, this is much. My left eye is much stronger than my right eye.
Oh. The I see the contacts. You know, I've got the same ones that you just described.
Yeah,
I see these as such an upgrade. When I was a kid in school, I wore hard contact lenses, which I had one pair of contact lenses. They were like glasses, but contact lenses. Put them in your eye, and they hurt like hell. And so as soon as I switched over to these soft ones, I'm like, oh, this is the best it could possibly be. I have no idea what it would be like to actually wake up and see.
Would you do LASIK?
Maybe. You know what I find very strange you ever wear your contact lenses in the shower?
Yes, since that gets dried out.
No, and it's just like, wow, look at how clear it is in the shower. Like, I always just assume the shower is a blurry place. Sometimes I accidentally go in there, you know, you got to do a quick hair or something like that. You go in there with the shower, and you're like, wow, the shower, it's crisp, it's clean, it's very dirty, but yeah.
Maybe you should clean it.
Well, again, I would have, when I'm usually in there, it looks fine because you can't see.
I usually put my contacts in before I shower.
Shower with contacts in?
That's weird.
Yeah.
Do you not wash your face?
Why is that weird?
I do it too, Sean. I didn't think that was weird.
Do you not wash your face with soap?
So I close my eyes.
Yeah, but when I get out of the shower, I need to like fix my hair up and everything. Okay. I got to be able to see it.
How do you dry your eyes?
With a towel.
And it doesn't move your contacts around?
I close them and everything stays in place.
Just pat them.
Yeah. I've
actually never thought about that.
Had my contacts in the shower like Vinny. When I do, it's by mistake. Or I need to go somewhere after that. I already put my contacts in. Yeah, like Vinny, I put my contacts in. It's the last thing I do. Put my contacts in, see what I'm looking like if I have contacts and stuff. So I don't like glasses too tough because they fog up because I sweat. But my contacts right now are not hidden, as the kids would say.
I didn't think we were going to be talking about contacts for 5 minutes, but hey, here we go.
Zawoski's out here trying to bet the White Sox with the division. Come on now.
So we're going to talk about the 8-21 White Sox today, and we're going to show you some graphs about the White Sox winning the AL Central and possibly making the playoffs. Zoe saying, though, are we taking the Sox to win the division at 12-1 on DraftKings? I am not. I'm going to stay away from that just personally. And why don't we just start with the graphs. All right, let's get into our favorite stuff. The graphs, the predictions, the probability. Let's start with the one single on the White Sox. So this is the chart, 2023 AL Central playoff odds, and this is basically for them to win the AL Central. Is it not big enough? The lines you see are zero.
I'm just trying to read
the
sides.
He's not wearing his contacts.
I am wearing them.
The probability is on the left, and it goes from 0, 25, 50, 75 to 100%, and the bottom is just going from April to May. So it started around 27% for them to win the AL Central.
Okay.
Now it's at 4.1. So they have lost about 23% of their chance to win the AL Central by going 8-21. Just kind of showing you the uphill climb that it will be for them to win the AL Central. Not that surprising, but scary. It's The Climb by Miley Cyrus. Stream it. Let's go to the one with all of the teams, though, in the AL Central. Minnesota currently has the best chance to win the division at 80%.
Wow.
Minnesota!
That's a lot of percent.
That is a lot of percent. 80%.
This division is just mercy.
Well, and I got a stat to share with you about Minnesota. Cleveland, 27.6% chance to win the AL Central. Repeat. Sox again at 4.1. And then Kansas City and Detroit, 1.2% for Detroit and Kansas City at, I think, 0.25. The thing about Minnesota, and this was sent to me by Alex Rude, somebody we used to have on the on the podcast once. Maybe we'll have again this season. Mm-hmm. The Twins record the Twins record versus teams not the Royals. Do you guys want to guess what it is?
How many games have they played?
The team that is currently 80% chance to win the AL Central, their record is currently 17-12.
Okay, and they've played, what, 6 or 7 games versus the Royals, right?
Let's say 7.
Okay.
7. It is 7. So what is their record without those 7 games against the Royals?
They probably won 6 of those, so I would say
500. They're 11-11.
Okay.
So basically, when you're not beating up on the worst team in the division, the best that this division can offer is a 500 team. So even the Minnesota Twins that have 80% chance to win the AL Central, not stalwarts, and we're going to see the Twins and White Sox take on each other. And I've been saying that the AL Central games, now that there's less, mean more. You have to defeat your opponents. It's going to give you the biggest advantage to win the division. And obviously, the Twins are doing a great job of beating up on the Royals, and going 6-1 has put them at 80%. The 2 wins against the White Sox have helped as well. But the White Sox, if they do want to get back and get that from a 4% to maybe a double digit, maybe like a 10%, and to help Zoe's 12-1 chance for the Sox to win the division, they have to start defeating division opponents, which they haven't seen a ton of.
To give you some Herbie Sunshine for you White Sox fans out there, especially coming off that win yesterday, 9 games is daunting. But it is May. All the White Sox need to do is take a game a week. They play the Minnesota Twins this week, 3 games. They go 2 out of 3. That's a game.
Will also be their first series win of the year.
Exactly. They just continue. They just, like, ugh. If you look at the schedule, and I know we did this last year. I know that it's a very easy schedule. There's a lot of teams in there that are all mostly AL Central, and the ones that are not in there are the Reds and the Angels, and then Jose Abreu returning for the Houston Astros here to the guaranteed rate. So it's not daunting. They only have to take 2 out of 3 series, and they'll be right back in this thing in July. Now, is it probable? No. But it's very doable if the Pedro Goffal maps out a plan and says, hey, all we need to do is do the little things right, and winning these 2 out of 3 versus these Twins is job number one, and then going on the road to Kansas City and Cincinnati. Reverse those. That's it. And that by next week, you could see the White Sox within 5 games of the Minnesota Twins. As you said, Sean, they've been bum slaying. Now it's time for the White Sox to bum slay. But I'm sure Cincinnati Reds look at that schedule is like, yeah, buddy, those White Sox are coming to town. Let's eat. Delicious. So it's not a very daunting task. The 9 games looks big, but the White Sox have plenty of time to get their stuff right. Because Sean says, Minnesota Twins, I don't think they're as good as they've shown with their record, even though their record's not ass-kickingly great.
If you want some perspective, you know, we always talk about baseball being a local sport, right? Obviously, the three of us very enwrapped in what the White Sox are doing on a daily basis. But how about this? A little whip around Major League Baseball for some end of the first month of the season wildness. The Chicago White Sox are 9 games back, 9 games out of first place. The St. Louis Cardinals are 10 games out of first place. The Chicago White Sox are in 4th place in their division. The New York Yankees are in last place in their division. First place teams in the National League include the Pittsburgh Pirates.
As we all thought.
And the Arizona Diamondbacks. Yes. So let's just remember that, you know, obviously there is a reason for White Sox fans to be frustrated with the way the White Sox have played and those all those it's early comments, right? Because it's not that it's not early. It's that the early this year is looking a lot like the early and the entirety of last year, right? But there's a lot of teams across Major League Baseball who are in a spot right now that they will not be in at the end of September, for better or worse. And it's just a good thing to remember. Now, does that mean I think that the White Sox are going to take off like a rocket ship? Not exactly. They haven't really given any reason to believe that that will happen. But there's a whole lot of weirdness going on around Major League Baseball right now, and the odds are that it will normalize as time goes on.
Yeah, again, like, it is ugly. And you want to look at run differential. Only the Oakland A's have a negative 100 run differential.
Ooh, those A's.
Not Bears. Only is it... Is it 100? It's over 110. It's negative 117.
I read something today that was describing them as the sad sack A's.
That's all they're going to take tough. Out of Oakland. It's just a sack with them.
Yeah, whenever
there's not many belongings left in Oakland.
Whenever I feel bad about us doing this job and the White Sox playing bad, I think about Oakland A's players. Like, they got to go to that place for work. Yeah. And they got to play on that team for that owner. It's like, man, I feel sorry for those dudes. I know some of them are millionaires, but I'm like, man, I'll switch with you.
Not many millionaires on that team, though. Like, and that's one. Weird to say in 2023.
Oh, who's the guy? Trevor May. That's about it.
That's the only guy making $1 million?
The reliever. He just went there to get a check and to get traded in July.
Good for him. The White Sox, though, second worst run differential at negative 65, which is just
not
horrendous.
Good.
But you bring up the Yankees being fifth in their division. Can we flash the wild card one?
Tied for fourth and fifth. Them and the Red Sox have the same thing going on there at the end of the AL East.
Right. A very tight race there. There should be a third one for the wild card.
I did what I did yesterday. I dragged the same one in twice, I think.
Slay. Good job.
I'm going to get it. I'm going to get it.
All good. The funny thing is, when you look at the wild card standings, the Yankees lead the probability to win the wild card. If you take out all of the division winners, so like right now the Rays obviously would win their division. They can't win the wild card. Same with the Twins, right? Took them out. Took the Rangers out as well. The Rangers lead the AL West.
Yes.
The Yankees have the highest chance to win the wild card, which isn't super shocking.
That's what I was saying when you showed that graph for the AL Central. What must the poor Detroit Tigers be thinking? They're like, we're here in third place, and we've got worse percent chance to win the division than the White Sox do? What a shame.
They haven't played the White Sox. That's the reason. The White Sox are going to beat up on the Kitty Cats. You're so pessimistic. Well, I thought you said you were going to be optimistic.
I gave you the optimism. Oh, that was the optimism. They can win one, take a game from the Twins each week, and they'll be right back in it.
You immediately take it away. This is the playoff odds for the wild card berth. And right now, Toronto leads. Yankees are in second. They're both above 50%. Then Baltimore just a little bit below them, above 25%. And the White Sox are that low team.
They're on there, though.
Yeah. Well, I left them on there on purpose. I actually took out Detroit, Kansas City, and Oakland for reasons. But you could see, like, their probability to be the wild card was maybe around 10% or so. Now it's like 1%.
You can get rid of the White Sox on that graph. They're not going to win the wild card or any of the wild card spots.
Well, we're a White Sox show, so I was more illustrating the White Sox point. That's why I left them on there. Again, being pessimistic.
Take them off.
Yes. I mean, is it done? Is it over?
No.
Okay, then why are you talking that way?
No, but the wild card, yeah, they're not going to win the wild card. As I said today, if anything, they're going to win this crappy division. Maybe last year or years before, where you're just feasting on 18 games versus the AL Central, each of those teams, yeah, you can go and maybe get a wild card. But this year, where you got to play everybody equally, that AL East is showing that they're superior than every team in the AL, every division in the AL. And the AL Central, oh my Jesus. Whew. It is bad.
Yeah.
Bad. Horrendous. And it's getting exposed for the teams and for the laziness they've had the last couple of years, where they're just trying to beat each other. And now they're just saying, man, we are bad when we're just trying to beat each other. We should be trying to beat the teams in the East. That's why Tampa's the way they are, because they got to compete with all the big boys. The White Sox and all the rest of the teams in the AL Central is like, we're just going to compete against each other. So we're just fighting for the top of the bottom.
The top of the bottom still gets a ticket in. So, hey,
it does.
What's
and
more
loss to the Yankees.
Realistic to Mr. C, from Mr. C here. The White Sox having over 100 losses or the White Sox winning the AL Central in 2023?
More likely?
Wow.
What is more likely?
AL Central.
You said that pretty matter of fact.
Yeah.
You don't think they'll lose 100 games?
No.
They're 8-21.
I understand that. But we've gone through the reasons why they're 8-21. Did any of us, did anybody think that they were this bad.
No.
No.
That's what I'm talking about. It's going to normalize to mediocre levels. So mediocre is going to be 80 losses, 90 losses, but 100 losses, that's a bad team consistently throughout the year. And I don't think the White Sox are like those Detroit Tigers teams that used to be or the Kansas City Royals teams that used to be. And like this Oakland Athletics team that is going to lose 100 games. This team is bad.
120.
Yeah, this team is bad. What's They're the not record? 100 losses bad. Like, what was that, the 2017 White Sox? We're like a 100 loss team?
18.
18, yeah. Yep. So they're not that bad.
They lost
they're
95 bad. In 17, 100 in 18, and 89 in 19.
Okay, do we count the Cleveland Spiders? And when do we start counting teams?
Like 20.
1920?
That's like the modern day era, I
okay.
believe.
Okay, so the most the record losses would be either 115 for the Boston Braves in 35 or... The New York Mets went 40 and 120 and 160 in 1962.
There's been two teams that have lost 120 games.
Okay.
That Mets team you just read, and then the Tigers fairly recently in the 2000s. Oh. Yeah.
I don't know why that
there was
one
a
didn't
Tigers
pop up.
Team in the 2000s. Alan Trammell was the manager, I believe. Mm-hmm. Wasn't he? Yeah.
2003, they lost 119. Go. 43 and 119.
Okay. I thought I had saw him the other day that they lost 120.
And then
close
enough. 3 years later, they're playing in the World Series.
If you lose 119, you might as well have lost 120.
Well, yeah.
All right, let's take a quick break, and then we're going to get into what's the most concerning thing about the White Sox. Obviously, the record is very concerning, but is it starting pitching? Is it the relief pitching? Is it the position players? And, some good news about one of the position players on the table right now, Tim Anderson, will be returning tomorrow. So we'll talk about what effect that will have on the White Sox. Want to let you know about our great sponsors, though, over at DraftKings. Our guy, Zoe, giving the shout-out that, hey, you can go take the White Sox to win the division at 12-1. Herb said if they're going to make the playoffs in any single way, they're going to win the Central. So make sure that you sign up with DraftKings Sportsbook. Baseball season is in full swing, whether you're rooting for the home team or betting on your favorite player. DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered for all this season's action. Right now, new customers can place a $5 pregame moneyline bet and get $150 in bonus bets if your team wins. Plus, everyone can hit one out of the park with DraftKings stepped up same game parlays. Boost your winning with each leg you add up to 100%. Our guy James Orlando is parlaying my two home run picks. I wouldn't recommend that. I'd play him straight, but hey, go over to DraftKings Sportsbook and place a wager. I like Jake Cronenworth to homer at +750, and I like Bo Bichette to homer at +600. So, you know, do what you may. No White Sox tonight, so you might have to go to Herb's team in San Diego. You might have to go to the north side with the Cubs and Nationals. But figure out the best bet for you. Join the big league action now on DraftKings Sportsbook. Download the app and sign up the code CHGO. New customers can bet just $5 on any pregame money line and win $150 in bonus bets if their team wins. Our guy Cody from CHGO Cubs thinks the Cubs will win tonight. So if you are looking to be a new customer, looking for that bet, maybe you take the Cubs money line. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code CHGO. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Massachusetts, call 1-800-327-505. Or visit gamblinghelplinema.org. In New York, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-46-469. In Kansas, call 1-800-522-4700. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort, 21 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details and specific state gambling resources.
And before you go,
yes,
you said it correctly, but I know somebody's going to bring it up later on. I did not say the White Sox are going to win the AL Central. Sean asked which one is more likely.
Yes.
So I told him which one is more likely. I don't want to comment 3 weeks from now when the White Sox are playing bad. Remember you said the White Sox are going to win the AL Central. What happened? I'm like, stop it. Calm down.
And in more specific, like you were talking about the wild card, like they're not winning the wild card. And
I'll put all the money on them not winning the wild card.
I don't think that's going to be an. I don't think that's going
to be DraftKings, put
you'll
bet
win
up for
a cent.
Yeah, for White Sox not win the wild card, any of the three wild cards, which is weird because their playoff odds are 9-1. Their winning the Central is 12-1.
Wait, what?
Their playoff odds are 9-1.
Oh, well, I mean, it's just because they give them the option to. That's why I'm saying, like, if you're going to bet on them to make the playoffs, just bet them to win the Central.
Yeah, that's weird.
hey, it's because you got many options for them to get there. Anyways, if you do want to watch your White Sox or you just want to watch TV, 140 live channels of sports, shows, movies, and news can be found on Fubo TV. You can stream live TV from any device and watch the most Chicago sports for the lowest price. You can start watching immediately with a 7-day free trial. There's no contract, no cables, no hassle. Just sign up and start watching. And my favorite part is the 1,000 hours of cloud DVR included at no extra charge. I can watch local teams while traveling. I don't travel much, but hey, maybe you're a frequent flyer. They have that program. Maybe you're a part of it. Maybe you want to travel and watch your White Sox, watch your Cubs. You can with Fubo TV. You could also watch the NHL draft on ESPN. I know the lottery is taking place next Tuesday, Monday. Jay, Mario, and Greg told me.
So it is the first, so next Monday.
Monday. All right. So you watch the NHL draft lottery on Monday on ESPN. You watch the NHL and NBA playoffs. And again, you can watch the White Sox on NBC Sports Chicago with Fubo TV. Use the link in the description to sign up for 50% off your first month of Fubo Pro. That's at FuboTV.com/CHGO. All right. What is the most concerning part of the White Sox? You asked grouping, I think. What'd you say specifically? You remember?
Pretty much you said it. Is it the hitters? Is it the starting pitchers? Or is it the bullpen?
There's no all of the above option?
They're all bad. Well, they've all been terrible.
Again, we put 8-21 in the title. So I think that kind of insists horrible baseball.
I know everybody would say bullpen. Of course, the bullpen's been performing badly. The White Sox a couple times have scored a bunch of runs and the bullpen blew those leads. But I look at the bullpens getting reinforcements in Liam Hendricks and Garrett Crochet eventually. I don't know when they're coming back. I would expect that, you know, Liam's maybe coming back at the end of the month or beginning of June. I don't know when Garrett's coming back, but he's throwing down there at AA right now. The starters are my problem. They have made every start. 29 starts, 5 guys have made those starts. Tomorrow you'll have Michael Kopech to finish off the cycle through 6. They've been bad. All but Lucas Giolito has pitched below or below the level that we expected them to pitch. Like, most of them have pitched really badly, like Lance Lynn, Michael Kopech. And last game, Dylan Cease got blew up, and now he's got a 4.15 ERA. Nobody expected that. But, you know, for the most part, Dylan Cease has been all right. Only one that's been good is Lucas Giolito. So where is this going to end? They are bottom 5 in walks per 9. They are bottom 5 in ERA. They're bottom 5 in home runs per 9. They're getting crushed in an April atmosphere that's not conducive to a bunch of home runs, but they're giving up a bunch of home runs right now, and there's no injuries to them, so that's why I'm concerned. At least the bullpen, you say, Liam's gone, Crochet's gone, Kelly missed some time, Ronaldo's doing a new thing, so once those guys get back, maybe you'll have better results with people in their actual roles. The hitters, they've got injuries too with Yoan and Tim out, so you can make excuses for those two things. The starting staff, there's no excuses. They've been underperforming, and that is what concerns me the most. Maybe they're all cooked. Maybe they're not as good as we thought they were. This first month has been very disappointing for the starting pitcher, so that concerns me because that takes teams from a bad team to a good team if they have actual good starters. What's Minnesota right now? The best starting staff in baseball right now, according to F4.
Yes, but to your point, none of the White Sox guys are injured. Kenta Maeda's now on the IL, and Tyler Malley's now been shut down for 4 weeks. Mm-hmm. So that great staff for Minnesota just got 2 pitchers worse.
And that's why the White Sox have some hope, because their starters are down. But so they still have their 2 best starters, though, with Joe Ryan and, of course, Pablo Lopez.
Sonny Gray has been better than all of them.
Sonny Gray, too. So they got 3, yeah.
This is a tough question to answer, in my opinion. I mean, I don't think anybody is free of blame on this White Sox team for what's happened here when you're talking about the players and more broadly the units. You know, personally, I think I'd probably rank the starting pitching 3rd out of that. I'd say they're probably the least bothersome. Not that they're not bothersome, because you just ran through why they have been. And certainly the performances from Lance Lynn and Michael Kopech have been awful. Lance Lynn in particular, this is something I don't think even the folks that were not bullish on his season this year saw coming in terms of what that ERA looks like right now. It is not good. And this is, of course, coming off of a start in which he took a no-hitter into the 7th inning. Mike Clevinger, I don't think, has been overly impressive either. He has not been able to go very deep into games, but He's been fine from a results standpoint. Lucas Giolito has been a little bit better than fine and is on a nice hot streak right now of starts. Dylan Cease has not looked like Dylan Cease looked a year ago. That's not good. That being said, the bullpen right now is blowing up on a nightly basis, and the offense is just – I don't – there's two parts of every one of these games, right? And so when Tampa comes back and takes a lead yesterday, or heck, when the White Sox grabbed that lead early in the game for the first time yesterday, a lot of people were saying on Twitter, oh, they'll blow it, the bullpen will blow it. But what that means is that you also have no faith in the offense to score more runs throughout the course of the game to make sure that that lead stays. We were just talking about it before the game started. Their best hitter this season is Jake Berger, who did not make the opening day roster, who on a completely healthy White Sox roster, a.k.a. once Yoan Moncada comes back, is not a starting player on this team. He's been their best hitter. The B-War top five players on this team right now includes two hitters. One of them is Jake Berger. Two of the three pitchers, by the way, are Mike Clevinger and Gregory Santos. Santos is in the top five in B-War on this team right now. Gregory Santos.
Last man in the bullpen.
The bullpen has not been good at all. The one guy who pitched tremendously yesterday, Joe Kelly, probably will miss the next few days by going on paternity leave.
I didn't know that.
James Fegan had that buried in his athletic story earlier today. So.
Congrats to Joe.
Yeah, congrats, Joe, absolutely. But again, there's a guy who – that guy's pitched five times this year. Pitched in five games in the month of April. Kendall Graveman's been okay, but go look at his numbers. They're not very good. Reynaldo Lopez has not been very good at all and now might be injured. We'll see what the update on that is tomorrow. Yes, Garrett Crochet and Liam Hendricks are coming back. But what are they going to be? You know what I mean? I think – Liam obviously probably has more certainty given the fact that he's been doing this longer and he's a guy that didn't have a major arm surgery to get over. But Garrett Crochet's coming off Tommy John surgery. I don't think anybody knows 100% with certainty what's going to happen there. Y'all just were like, oh, what the heck's going to happen with Justin Verlander after missing so much time? And then he comes out and wins the Cy Young. Well, the other thing happens, too, where the guys aren't very good anymore. Not saying that's what will happen with Garrett. He's a young guy and has plenty of time left. But it's all over the place on this team. And you can go look at the stats like you were just reading off. Some of these pitching stats are abysmal. They're just walking everybody. Yeah. They're hitting so many guys with pitches, which is very strange. They're swinging at everything offensively. Hearing from Jose Castro yesterday, you know, not a lot of, an acknowledgement of that reality, you know, but not a lot of anything else other than, oh, we're working on it and we'll keep working. And, you know,
that's what we
heard from Pedro Grifol a lot in April, and that made people upset. So this team's not playing very well. And you can look to yesterday and say, oh, man, what a great win for them. And it was. It was a moment that they needed to be able to score that many runs and with two outs in the ninth inning. That's a tremendous feat. But throughout the game, we saw nothing but all the same stuff that led them to all those losses prior. So if I have to come up with an answer, I guess I would say the offense just because it plays such a bigger role. You know what I mean? If the starting pitching is even fine, like it can eat up 5 to 6 innings of that game, the offense has to play 9 innings of that game. And the whole point is to score more runs than the other team. The White Sox haven't been doing a very good job of that. They're not walking. Their on-base numbers are not good, and their power numbers are not very good either. There's not a lot that is going right for them right now. Even the guys who are hitting well, I think, you know, a guy like, let's say, Andrew Vaughn, Gavin Sheets, even Benintendi, you could point to them and say, well, they should be doing X, Y, and Z probably a little bit better. So, I think the answer is all of the above to answer the question. But if I got to give you something, I guess I'm going to go offense, bullpen, starters.
You said offense. You said starters.
Correct.
I'm saying bullpen.
There you go.
That's all, so of the above. All of the above. There we go. That's just how it works out.
We didn't even discuss that either.
just how it goes. This is from Patrick Nolan. It's just, you know, I'm just going to take the way that he phrased it. He's just taking a screenshot of Fangraph's ERA leaders for the White Sox, but it's not like he's digging deep here. But White Sox bullpen ranked by ERA. First, it was the last guy in the pen on opening day, Gregory Santos. Second, Jesse Schultens, who's currently in the minors.
Yes.
Third, Tanner Banks, who's currently in the minors. Fourth, Keenan Middleton, who was a major league baseball or minor league baseball signing. 5 through 10, Graveman, Lambert, Kelly, Diekman, Reynaldo, Aaron Bummer, who have ERAs of 5.56, 9, or 6.92, 7.71, 7.94, 8.76, and 9.64.
Damn.
And then 11 and 12 are infielder Hanser Alberto and 12 Jose Ruiz. So, really, the guys that you are relying on, the guys that you are relying on all have ERAs over 5.
Yeah, well, I mean, that was, I mean, look what happened yesterday. The Rays scored 7 runs mm-hmm. off of the guys who are today the last 3 guys in your 7, 8, 9 traditionally inning guys, right? Graveman, Bummer, and Lopez. Mm-hmm. They gave up 7 runs yesterday.
Yeah.
Well, White Sox won, so how about that?
Thankfully, Joe Kelly looked good, so that's kind of like he's one of those guys that can be flexed to the 7th or 8th, depending on righties
Should
or
be.
Lefties. Right, yeah.
But he pitched 5 games in April.
Right. I mean, yeah. Do we expect any changes, though? Like, I mean, with the bullpen? Because, like, does this mean Reynaldo Lopez? I know, obviously, he's dealing with the injury. We don't know what the status of he will be. But if the White Sox go into a game and it's 4-3, like they had to close out in the first game or first series of against Minnesota, like, who are they going to in the 9th inning? Do we have an idea if Reynaldo's fully healthy that it would be him? Is it Joe Kelly after how nasty he looks? And obviously, he's on paternity, but, you know, play along. Like, who is the guy in the 9th inning right now before Liam Hendricks comes back? Because that doesn't seem like it's going to be happening this week or next week.
It's just has to be a gut feeling for Pedro and Ethan Katz there, because none of them are performing well as of right now. Yeah, Joe Kelly did perform well yesterday, but as Vinny says, 5 starts. He doesn't have enough to say, okay, we can depend on Joe. And Kendall Graveman pitches well sometimes, pitches poorly sometimes. Same thing with Reynaldo Lopez. I would go with the hot hand. If you're feeling Keenan Middleton that day, do it. If you're feeling Jimmy Lambert, even though lately he's been giving up a bunch of rocket home runs, do it. Because there's no one in there that you say, all right, I like how this guy is doing it, and he's doing it consistently enough for me to put him in the 9th. Gregory Santos is performing well, but I don't want to have that guy. And then the reason he's on the White Sox is the Giants don't believe in his control and command, and he can be wild with his 103-mile-per-hour fastball yeah. and his 91-mile-per-hour slider. He has the pitches. He has the filth. But I wouldn't put that guy in the 9th inning right now. But Pedro might.
Pretty good.
Pedro might. Hell. I mean, who would you go with?
Gregory Santos.
Well, I mean,
not a lot of guys could throw 103, and he can.
Well, I would just say, remember how this was supposed to work. This was, from what we heard in spring training, this was supposed to be closer by committee. This was supposed to be what the best matchup is. It didn't always work out that way through the first month of the season, and it really looked like closer by Reynaldo Lopez a lot of the time. But Reynaldo didn't pitch the 9th yesterday. He was brought in to pitch the 8th inning. He was brought in to pitch the middle of the Rays order, which, to be fair, was not the hardest part of the order there. That's what Joe Kelly did in facing the top of the order earlier, because that's where Brandon Lau, Wander Franco, and Randy Arozarena were. Mm-hmm. Those, to me, again, I'm not looking at every single matchup like Pedro is looking at the data, obviously, but that, to me, seems like that's the quote-unquote closer spot, right? And who came in? Joe Kelly to face those guys, struck them all out. Reynaldo Lopez comes in to face the middle of the order, which traditionally, obviously, is more difficult, perhaps. But the way that Rays lineup was set up, it wasn't. So maybe we've already seen a move towards something, or maybe it was just the matchups on any given day. I think the matchups on any given day is the answer to your question. It might not yield the best results because the matchups coming into the season are now different than what they were, or, you know, we're different than what they are now because we have a month of data, and the data says that a lot of the pitchers in the White Sox bullpen are not pitching very well.
Right. And I don't really understand what's going on with the pitching in general, both the bullpen and starter-wise. I will say the reason why the starters don't really worry me that much is when you look at Sierra, and I'm going to, again, you know, Scrabble letters.
Made up.
That's Skill Interactive Earn Run Average, and it's not made up because it's on the MLB.com glossary.
Yeah, she works at Quick Pitch.
Oh, mercy. Sierra, parentheses Santos, close parentheses, quantifies a pitcher's performance by trying to eliminate factors the pitcher can't control by himself, like bad defense, like Romy Gonzalez dropping pop flies. But unlike a stat such as XFIP, Sierra considers balls and plays and adjusts for the type of ball in play. For example, if a pitcher has a higher XFIP but also has introduced a proportion of grounders and pop-ups instead of line drives, his Sierra will be lower than his XFIP. So, Lance Lynn is a very interesting pitcher because, yes, his ERA is very bad. I'm not going to tell you that Lance Lynn has been good.
Don't tell Lance Lynn that he's been good. He would not agree with you.
No, but I like Lance Lynn, and I like his attitude. I don't think he's washed. Go tell him he's washed.
I would never
Steve Stone told him to go eat salads, and he threw a no-hitter for seven innings. His Sierra is at 399. MLB average, around 443. So his numbers, his outlying numbers look okay. Like, I don't think Lance Lynn is this bad. I think we saw last year kind of started off lower velocity. Lower velocity this year. I think it is very possible that Lance Lynn gets settled and gets going in May, June, July, August, September, because we've seen it before.
Guys have bad months. Happens all the time.
Absolutely. The White Sox might have had all of the worst months of their careers in 1 month. Get it out of the way. I don't think that's fully true, but still. Lucas Giolito, who's been good, a Sierra of 4. Dylan Cease, a Sierra of 4.23. All those guys under major league average of skill interactive ERA.
They have been fine.
They've been fine, and I think the results have looked worse than they should, right? A lot of their issues snowball. And I think that's the biggest thing. We've talked about their two outs, their issues with getting guys out and finishing the job when you have two outs. Hopefully they can start putting more people away.
And their length, too, which also directly affects the bullpen.
Right. I mean, Lance Lynn, we go to the Toronto start. I mean, if he doesn't walk that guy in the fourth inning, you know, he gets out, doesn't pitch 15 more pitches, and doesn't give up more runs. Like, I mean, he could have ended, stopped the bleeding there. But Kopech and Clevinger, I am a little worried about. Kopech a little less just because, again, that Giants start is just hilarious. What does he look like outside of that Giants start? And actually, his stuff has looked pretty good, pretty consistently, and it seems like it's been staying strong. So I'm fine to kind of give Kopech that run because what else are you going to do, right? Like, I mean, Kopech is seen to be all around baseball a top future starter. Like
none of these guys are going anywhere anytime soon. Well, these are the five guys you got unless an injury happens, which, of course, is very common in baseball.
That's fair. I do think Mike Clevinger can play himself off this team. Davis Martin has experience. Davis Martin has been very good down in Charlotte as well. 16 innings pitched this year, 5 earned runs, 20 strikeouts, 7 walks. I think he just had a complete game with 10 strikeouts or something like that. I wouldn't be opposed to Davis Martin getting some runs. So if Mike Clevinger does have some blow-up starts, maybe he does is fine, and they think his performance is fine. I do think that there is the possibility that, hey, maybe you could see that swap. But I don't think that the starters are going to change for the most
part. Nothing
that
has happened so far would put Mike Clevinger on DFA watch. Not even close in terms of his performance. No.
I haven't loved it. I mean, Herb didn't like it yesterday.
I just don't like length. All of them, 5 innings and dive. It's just like, ugh, come on now.
He gets it hard, too. But I don't know. I just think, like, the hitter part is fair, but when we'll get to it in a second, I think that stuff can turn around. The bullpen is just very concerning because it's the veterans that are struggling, and obviously I made the point that, hey, Lance Lynn could turn it around. But, like, Aaron Bummer's had consistency finding the grips and arm slots for his sinkers and sliders. Like, I don't know if that's going to turn around. I don't understand what's going on with Reynaldo Lopez because all of the metrics, his stuff plus location plus, say he's an above-average MLB pitcher. The results say he's horrible. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, Jake Diekman has been bad. It seems like Jake Diekman's going to get a pretty long leash because they made that trade for Reese McGuire. But I don't think he should be on the team. But, hey, you know, here he is. Maybe Garrett Crochet knocks him off. But I don't know. I am concerned about the bullpen because it doesn't seem like there's going to be a break until Clevinger and Hendricks get back, and it doesn't seem like there's a rush to get them back. So
I mean, we'll see what happens with Crochet. Crochet's rehab assignment has begun, and mm-hmm. Liam's rehab assignment could begin this weekend. I mean, this might be, again, I'm not saying it's going to happen tomorrow or during this Twins series, but this is something that could happen sooner than later with both these guys.
If either of those guys feel anything, like a tweak, anything, like they're going to not rushing them back. Is
of
my
course,
point.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But yeah, like Crochet, 10 for 13 strikes in his rehab assignment yesterday. The Barons faced the Smokies. This is his first minor league appearance ever, by the way. But 10 for 13 for strikes. Velo hit 97 on his fastball and had a nice slider as well. That got a swing and miss. So shout out to Daily White Sox who had the
remember
video.
Remember what Rick Hahn said in spring training. He said that the idea back then, and this was mid-February, was about mid-May. That's an April 30th start to the rehab assignment. You give him 2 weeks in the minor leagues, and he could be back up here.
And with the concern about the bullpen, and I'm right there with you, it can be nullified by the pitchers, the starting pitchers, just going out in there and doing their jobs. 100%. So then you can say, man, the starters are out here working, and then you get into better bullpen because you're not exposing yourself to lesser bullpen people or terrible spots for the bullpen to enter into a game into the sixth inning with runners on. Instead, you're inning with the seventh inning with a clean base.
Yeah, and how many games this year have we watched? I keep score on the little sheets during the ball game, and, you know, you're writing down the new pitchers as they come in. How many times have I written down six, seven names in the same game? I mean, it's just they've got to, you know, the starters need to do their job. The bullpen pitchers need to do their job. I feel like we haven't seen the starter goes six, 1-2-3 innings, 1-2-3 pitchers. Right. It has not happened very often for this White Sox team.
They have not been clean at all, just as a team. And hopefully that
Pedro's strategy of, you know, attacking pockets, as he likes to say, picking certain three-batter chunks of the lineup for these pitchers to face, when the bullpen pitchers can't get those three guys out, it then extends, pushes them out of that pocket, and then all of a sudden the plan is kind of, you know, out the window.
Absolutely. And we're going to talk about Pedro in a second. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to talk about what this roster is going to look like on Tuesday when the White Sox do take on Joe Ryan and the Minnesota Twins. Do I have my ComEd readers just around? I might need you guys just a little bit later.
ComEd players.
I'm going to let you guys know about game time, though. I'm always stressed. I'm stressed out left and right, especially when I'm buying tickets. And when I'm trying to find them last minute, hunting down the best price, you know, there's so many different places you can go. Go to the right place. Don't waste time. Don't stress out. Go to Game Time. Not only because we have this lovely code that's going to save you $20, use code CHGO for $20 off, but they have killer deals on last minute tickets and their best price guarantee. You could stop stressing over the tickets and start getting hyped for the fun you have. It's all about getting you the best deal with Game Time. So snag the tickets without the stress. Download the Game Time app and create an account and use code CHGO for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code CHGO for $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guarantee. And again, if you find a price in the same section and row for less, Game Time will credit you $110% of the difference. Herb found that out when he went down to ATL, worked with the lovely customer support of Game Time, and within 10 minutes or so, got his money, 110% of the difference, into his account. So shout out to Game Time. And again, create an account, redeem code CHGO for $20 off at the Game Time app. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Hold on. Shady Rays. What's going on?
Oh, I was waiting.
I know. I got you. I'll set the scene. Shady Rays, take on the sun with gear built to last. Our friends at Shady Rays have you covered with the warm weather ahead with the premium polarized shades at an affordable price. Shady Rays is an independent sunglasses company that offers a world-class product that's just as good as any expensive pair we've worn. They have durable frame and extremely clear optics for outdoor adventure, and that's not all. Shady Rays offers the most insane protection program in all of eyewear. Every pair of sunglasses is backed by lost and broken replacements. If you lose or break your pair, even on day one, they told us that they will send you a brand new pair. No questions asked. So wear your Shady Rays with confidence because they have your back long after your purchase. They have your back long after your purchase, at least up to 30 days as well. If you don't love your Shady Rays, you can exchange them for a new pair or return them for free within 30 days. There is truly no risk when you shop. So exclusively for our listeners, Shady Rays is giving out their best deal of the season. Go to ShadyRays.com and use code CHGO for 50% off two plus pairs of polarized shades. Try for yourself. The shades rated 5 stars by over 250,000 people. Okay, playing reader one will be Herb Lawrence. Playing reader two will be Vinny Duber. This is the ComEd Energy Efficiency Reader.
New York. Sorry. The ComEd Energy Efficiency Program is committed to helping families and businesses in the communities they serve, helping manage energy usage and lower energy bills, now and into the future. Vinny?
Yeah, Herb, you're right. ComEd offers a wide variety of incentives on lighting and other efficiency upgrades to commercial, industrial, and public sector customers of all sizes across our beloved territory. ComEd also offers free facility assessments that can help find energy-saving opportunities, like those for HVAC systems, commercial kitchen equipment, or industrial processes.
Vinny, How does that work?
Well, I'm glad you asked because I have that information for you right here. An authorized engineer will work with you, yes, you, Herb, to develop a detailed assessment plan specific to your goals and needs. These can be done in person or virtually and last approximately 2 hours. Within 3 to 4 weeks, customers will receive a report detailing energy efficiency projects that they can start working on immediately. Each recommendation will include estimated energy savings, project cost, potential incentives, and simple payback.
That's a lot of stuff.
If you out there, listener, own a business, do not wait. Here's the CTA, the call to action, the Chicago Transit Authority. Get started saving money and energy today. For energy saving tips, lighting incentives, or to schedule your free facility assessment, go to comed.com/poweringbiz.
Hold up. Did you say comed.com/poweringbiz?
Biz.
Herb, I did. And that's biz, B-I-Z, by the way. But yes, that's exactly what I said. So please go out there and schedule it today.
You really do bring that Eddie Olchek vibe. The immediately is really good.
So many years of watching Blackhawks hockey on TV, I picked up a thing or two.
You really get the vibe, though.
Maybe
the energy of Pat and Eddie come through you.
Hey,
it's surprising.
Maybe the next time I do it all in a Pat Foley voice. Who knows?
Oh, I would die for that. Real quick, did you guys like reading in school? Did you guys remember when you used to go around the classroom?
No, it was terrible.
You hated it?
Reading in the round?
Yeah.
Yeah, I liked it. Yeah.
You liked it?
I'm a huge dork. Yeah.
You're a good reader. Yeah. I get it. I didn't like reading. I have ADHD, so I just kind of want to say all the words at the same time. So I didn't like reading because that wasn't fun. So
usually I was class clowning, and so I would be joking with somebody else, and the teacher would see me doing that. I'd be like, "Hey, Herb, read page 58." And she's like, "Abran los libros, la página dosi en dosi cuatro."
See, I was like, muy bien.
"Calm down."
What was that there? Can you translate for that?
Open your books to page 240. I don't know what 40. Number I said.
Close enough.
Four. I was going to 204.
Can you tell me a joke?
In Spanish, no.
Just any.
No.
Come on, rat off a joke. Come on. Funny guy? Class clown?
No.
Okay. All right.
Sorry.
Let's get into Tim Anderson. Tim Anderson and Hanzo Berto going to be returning to the squad tomorrow.
I'll be back.
What do we expect the roster to look like? Will those be the only two roster moves we expect? And if those two come back, who goes down?
We'll see. Obviously, I just mentioned what we heard from James about Joe Kelly going on the paternity list. So at the bare minimum, you would expect three corresponding moves there. Joe Kelly out, Tim Anderson and Hanser Alberto in. So you would need another pitcher in and two position players out. When I look at it, I think you got to look at what positions those guys play. I don't think that it is just a... all right, throw all the position players on a list. Who's doing the worst? You're out of here, kind of thing. The reason Lenin Sosa, for example, has been on the team is because Tim Anderson got hurt. Elvis Andrus had to move from second to short. They needed a second baseman. It was Lenin Sosa. Lenin Sosa has not fared very well, be it at the plate or in the field. I would imagine that he would probably be going back to Charlotte with Tim Anderson coming back. Hanser Alberto, backup infielder. I would imagine that you would not remove an outfielder when you're not getting another one back. Romy Gonzalez might be the guy. Now, obviously, he's played all over the field, but he's obviously a backup infielder probably first and foremost, and his time in the outfield, as we saw yesterday, has not been something worth cheering. So those would be my two guesses. I don't have any other information about that, but those would be my two guesses in terms of who goes back down to Charlotte when Tim and Hanser come back. As for Joe Kelly, probably somebody that we've already seen up here, be it a Banks or a Schultens or someone like that, getting some more innings, which both of those guys can provide. Herb, you just ran over a ton of reasons why that is necessary for this bullpen. Bringing one of those two guys back could help you eat up a couple innings should the trends continue with the starting pitching.
Completely agree, but I will continue to say to only have 3 days of paternity leave is ridiculous, and they should extend that. To see your wife give birth.
Your wife.
And then just bounce out. It's like, yeah, good job. I'm going to work. Like, does she not need help? Come on now. I understand they got to go and play baseball, but also, how about the bonding time with the kid? How about helping the wife? She just goddamn delivered a kid. Come on, MLB. Get your shit together.
Yeah. I don't feel that passionate about that.
You should.
Oh.
When you have a kid, you will. I don't have any kids.
I was gonna say,
I have zero kids that I know of. But if I did, I'll be like, hey, Sean, Vinny, I'm going to be out for about 2-3 weeks.
I'm going to take 4 months off.
Minimum.
Lenit Sosa, this is from Daniel Victor, who writes with Daily White Sox and Prospects 1500. Lenit Sosa, first 100 at-bats in low A, 170, 200, slug 220. Next 100 at-bats, 277, 302, 465. First at-bats in high A, 228, 248, 337. Next 100 at-bats, 355, 369, 538. First 100 at-bats in double A, 218, 248, 297. Next 100 at-bats, 354, 435. That's weird.
That's huge.
354, no. 345, 456. And then in triple A, 272, 311, 424. Next 100, 296, 361, 449. Making the point. Takes time for him to adjust.
Sure. Reasonable.
I mean, Elvis Andrus, has he won the job? Has he been that great at second base?
I mean,
he's been... he has had a very big struggle here to open the season. So have a lot of people on this White Sox team. Elvis Andrus is here for his reliability in a lot of different areas. Some of those areas have not come through so far. But if you're going to go send in, you know, major league veterans, established major league veterans who also happen to be clubhouse leaders, packing because of a bad month, there's going to be a lot of pink slips that have to start flying around, not only this team, but all over Major League Baseball.
I like Jimbo's comments, just make me laugh. It's Lennon. Communist system requires everyone to struggle equally. Once a team picks it up, he will pick it up as well. Hilarious.
If
I love it.
If Barry Bonds was on the 2023 White Sox, like 2000, what was that, 2001 Bonds?
That hit all the home runs.
Yeah,
73 home runs.
Yeah. So basically, if Jimbo's saying that, like, Lenin Sosa would also be hitting 73 home runs?
No, he's talking about... divide it by 26.
Oh, okay. I got you.
Yeah.
It'd be shared equally. Yes. It's the Rays.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, like, Luke Rayleigh can hit a home run. Wander Franco can hit a home run. They're not picky about who does it. So let's go to the mailbag questions because, you know, I mean, Tim Anderson coming back is important. I don't know if I love Hanser being on this team. I would rather see Lenin and Elvis, but also I understand Lenin getting consistent at-bats in Charlotte is probably more important for his development and growth. I don't know if Romy's long for this team for sure as well, but we'll see what the moves are. But it's going to be very exciting to have Tim Anderson back because they're 3-15 without him.
Well, and let's always remember this too. I brought this up a lot last year. I'll bring it up again this year. A lot easier to make these decisions on the guys who have options left.
Right.
You know what I mean? So you send Lenin Sosa back to AAA. You send Romy Gonzalez down to AAA. You can bring them right back. Mm-hmm. You get rid of Elvis Andrus, he gone. So, you know, there's the idea of flexibility involved in this, too, and what gives you the most options moving forward. It's not a matter of, you know, Elvis Andrus has been so great and Lenin Sosa, you know, has been so bad. It's just a matter of what allows you to hang on to these guys and make the moves you need to make, not just today, but the one a week from now and a month from now.
One option each for Scherger left. Both Gavin Sheets and Jake Berger have one, and then Romy and... Lenin both have two left. Let's get into the CHGO diehard mailbag and go through these questions. Let's go to the other one first. Was there two? One was from Husky Bardo, I think. Oh. All good. Let's go to the Ian one. Ian said, so many I have, but a key one for you guys is this. What is your assessment of Pedro so far? Josh Nelson said he is out on him already. Said before, I'm a fan, but can't see he has made outrageous errors and... To me, certain players have rebelled against being asked to work. I think that's insinuating Luis Robert Jr. First impressions, obviously, the 29-game sample hasn't been kind to Pedro Grifol, but what's your first impressions after the first 29 games?
He's a rookie manager. He's going to make rookie mistakes. I've disagreed with a couple things that he's done, you know, not walking people with bases open. But for the most part, I don't think anything that Pedro has done necessarily on the field in his in-game strategy moves are detrimental to the White Sox or moves that I would say, hey, this Pedro Grifol is in over his head. I think maybe not having somebody warming up after Lance gave up that home run or maybe before that because he was, 80-some pitches into the seventh might be a thing that's just a small gripe, but it's not a huge thing. For Pedro Grifol, I think he's, for the in-game, he's done as well as he could do. As we've gone through the numbers with the bullpen, who the hell can he turn to with the bullpen? There's no one out there that's out there throwing bullets, and he's like, yeah, you go out there and do the job now. I think his lineups have been pretty consistent, as we were bitching and moaning last year about, man, Tony's changing everything. His lineups, for the most part, have been pretty consistent. I would have not put Adam Haseley at the top yesterday, but Adam Haseley got on base 6 times yesterday. So I think it's way too early, and I don't think Pedro's done anything egregious to warrant this backlash that he's got. The record's bad, but I don't think Pedro is necessarily bad at managing.
I mean, this is far from Pedro's fault. If you're going to make a list of the people to blame for the White Sox poor first month, he will be way, way down on it. He just got here. You know what I mean? I think that there is something to be said about the job that he was tasked with doing has not been accomplished by a long shot. You know what I mean? He was hired to and given the job of, hey, we're keeping all these players. It's on you and the coaches around you to go turn them around, to make sure that they get back to what they were before. That hasn't happened. So you can say he has not met his job description through the first month of the season, but was that a job description that he or anybody was going to fulfill, right? So he has been perfectly fine. There has been nothing that he has done that has made you go, and there is nothing that he has done that had made you have the complete opposite reaction. He has been, Herb, as you always talk about, the kind of insignificance, for lack of a better term, of a pro sports head coach or a major league manager or something like that.
Yeah.
I think he's probably fallen right into that category. These players have played very poorly. It is not Pedro Grifol's fault that Luis Robert can't stop swinging at pitches outside the strike zone. It's not Pedro Grifol's fault that the bullpen is walking the earth right now. He's the manager, and he's trying, and I think the players have bought into his idea of working hard and trying hard. Obviously, a very glaring example of him having to bench a player for not doing that the other day. But for the vast majority of the time, I think he has done exactly what the White Sox wanted him to do. The results have not been there, but I do not really think that he has really too much control over that.
I don't think this is on him. The issues of the White Sox stem far long before Pedro Grifol ever put on the number 5 and stole it from
Josh Harrison.
Josh Harrison, Stephen's guy. But I don't know. There's something about when he was introduced, and I don't know what else you're going to say when your first day on the manager, and you wrote this up on AllCHGO, but this quote, here are some things you can expect from the 2023 White Sox. We will communicate. We will be fundamentally sound. We will play with passion, pride for this uniform. We will respect the game, our fans, and earn their trust. We will be prepared to control the strike zone on both sides of the ball. Already so far, none of that has come true.
I don't think you can attack their heart or anything like that. But in terms of controlling the strike zone on both sides of the ball, that's been a big offer so far.
Communication
yeah.
with Luis Robert, fundamentally sound.
Again, that Roy was Gonzalez. One incident. The fundamentally right, sound but, definitely is a
but that's not on Pedro. That's on Robert.
Right.
True, but Pedro's but, been communicating, but he's the boss, right? Yeah.
But isn't if maybe the trust was there a little bit more, the communication or that line of communication might be a little bit more open to Pedro Grifol and Luis Robert or Charlie Montoya
these
and Luis
are grown
Robert?
Men. Luis Robert's a grown man. Open your mouth. Say what's going on with your body. Go to the training table. Make sure you get your treatment. And then players will know. And Pedro will make the decision if you're going to play or not. But that's on Luis Robert 100%, not on Pedro.
I don't know. And then
he doesn't know the deal. Bitch coach's name too. That I brought that up, and it irks me.
That's fair. I'm just saying. I do go then, and I forget who brought this up. I saw someone ask the Sox Machine guy specifically about this. Twitter is broken, so I can't actually search and try to give this person credit. But they brought me back to this quote from Liam at the end of the season. Liam Hendricks said the White Sox can use an authoritarian. I'm reading James Fegan's tweet about this, but I know you had this on our site as well. Liam Hendricks said the White Sox can use an authoritarian, someone to be harsh on guys when needed. As he said a few times, he said players lack trust in one another to pick each other up. He said he was trying too hard to strike everyone out and not trusting his defense. I think we've heard similar stuff from other people that have left the organization after last year. But what do we think Pedro Grifol is bringing that authoritarianness that Liam Hendricks wanted? Is that what the White Sox needed? I mean, have we seen any of that reflected in Pedro Grifol's managerial style?
I mean, we saw, you brought up the quote yesterday from Vinny when Tony La Russa was asked about Luis Robert's lack of hustle. And Tony said some things, and he's like, yeah, he'll be fine, blah, blah, blah. Luis didn't sit down or anything. You see Pedro say, hey, that's not acceptable here. You're sitting your ass on the bench. That's accountability. That's finally what we've been asking for. And so, yeah, I think Pedro has a tall task in front of him because there's a lot of things wrong with the White Sox. But there's nothing that he has done in his first month that has soured me on Pedro Grifol as the guy to lead the White Sox this year and into the future, because I think he signed for a 3-year deal. So he's been fine. And as somebody said up there, that said, Jared said, nothing Pedro did led them losing 10 in a row. That was all in the players and their lack of execution.
Yeah, but I mean, later on in that quote, he says, I'll be a stickler for preparation and energy. I mean, if you're losing 8 of 29 games, are these guys prepared enough?
I'm sure he gets them ready. It's, for me, that is the manager's most important role, to get them ready before the game. When the game starts, that's all in the players. And nothing on these games have you seen that you like, these guys are not prepared to win today, for me.
Yeah.
They're just bad. They're just swinging at things. I don't know how you – like, I'm sure Pedro sees Luis Robert flailing at balls outside the zone. Same thing with Aloy and other players. All he could do is say, don't do that, dude. And give him the analytics to tell him, this is why you're – this is where you're attack at. You can't even hit those pitches down there. And when you do hit those pitches, it's not that great. So he can give him that information, but he can't go and take the at-bat for Luis Robert. He can't get into Luis Robert's mind. These are all grown-ass men. So I think it's to blame always, 95% to 99% players when it's playing the game.
Well, and we've talked, too, about managers not mattering, and I think, you know, you can even see that with Tony La Russa. Like, I didn't like the Tony La Russa hire. I don't think Tony La Russa was the right manager for the White Sox in 2021 and 2022, yet 2021 they won 93 games more in the AL Central. I think my issue with the Tony hiring is what it symbolizes, right? Jerry Reinsdorf overriding his general manager, the whole kind of over-trusting and loyalty to people. That's what frustrates me. But, I mean, again, like, managers don't really matter. It's Rick Hahn saying, put it on me, because the roster isn't properly assembled, right? Let's go to the final question, though, from Husky Bardo. With April finally over, White Sox have 29 games in May. How many do you think they win, and how many do you think they have to win for you to feel confident again? I think 18 to 20 wins is the key for them with an easy schedule. Do you guys have any feeling for the White Sox in their 29 games in May? Obviously going to start with 3 games against Minnesota, then 3 against Kansas City, 4 against, or 3 against Cincinnati, 4 against Kansas City, 3 against Houston, 3 against Cleveland, 3 against Kansas City, 3 against Cleveland, 4 against Detroit, and then finally 3 against the Angels.
I would say they would probably need to win minimum half of those games. Yes, minimum.
So 15 and 14.
Yes. So if they go 15 and 14, while not great, it's better what they are, and I think they would take a couple games off the Minnesota Twins because they have a tough schedule in May. But if they win 19 games, they're right back in there. They're cooking with gas. But I wouldn't say they're going to lose 10 games in the month of May after I just saw them, how they looked in April. No, hell no. So I would be fine with 15 games. Anything above that is, I think you're asking a lot from this team, even though the schedule looks favorable for them.
If they go 15 and 14 in May, Herb,
mm-hmm.
it will be 12 games under 500 at the end of May.
23 and 35.
And I guarantee they'll be like 7 games back.
That's fair. Vinny, how many games do you think they
I have no idea. I will. I will say this. Is it possible that they could have an average month, a good month? Absolutely. The schedule slackens quite a bit. Games in there against the Royals. Who knows what happens? Do they have the ability to do that? Sure. Have they shown me anything through 29 games that would lead me to believe that they would have an outstanding month of May? Absolutely not. They are swinging at everything, and they're walking everybody. So, no, they have not shown anything to this point that would lead me to believe that that's what's going to happen. But, as I always say, that's why they play the games, isn't it?
Steven, can you put do you have the one shot? The one shot on me? I am a fool.
Get out there.
Oh, wow, this is impressive. You're going over to Sean's Corner or something like this.
It's written in the contract.
Come on over to Sean's Corner. Close up.
I want to say this on the one shot because I just want to be very clear. I am a fool. I am stupid. and I think the White Sox will win 20 games in May. Sean. I think that they are going to end and have a record after the third Angels game, the end of May 31st, of 28-30. I think that they'll go 20-9 in the month of May. Okay. I'm not saying this because I'm smart. I'm not saying this because of I'm just saying this because I'm a stupid, dumb White Sox fan. They're going to go 20-9.
Very correct.
That's what I have to add.
We'll bring this back on June 1st, and you'll either be a genius or continue to be dumb.
I'll be right, baby. Don't worry.
You should bet on it.
I don't think I can. anyways, that's going to do it for the CHGO White Sox podcast. We will be with you tomorrow. Herb won't be. Right, you're off.
No, I'm going to be at the ballpark with my dog and my fiance. Day.
Look at that. So cool. I'll be hanging out here at the CHGO offices. Not sure who's going to be hanging out with me, but Vinny will be at the park. So we'll have some fun. There is a pregame.
Oh, man, I won't make it that. I mean, theoretically, I can make the postgame.
You should bring the dog to the postgame show.
Diggy!
I'll bring him in the postgame show.
Why don't you enjoy your time with your fiance and dog? A little family time at the game.
We'll see. If you don't have anybody, I'll come in.
Don't worry. Post-game. I mean, hey, we could always crowdsource this. If you want to be on the podcast, wow. Hit me up on Twitter, @Sean_W_Anderson. That's Vinny Duber. You can follow him on Twitter, @Vinny Duber. He's our CHGO White Sox beat writer, and this is Herb Lawrence. You can follow him on Twitter, @EchnerWall23. He's our CHGO White Sox community leader. Real quick, Melissa and Baloney. Like, I'm not really trying to keep hope alive. Yeah. I'm not trying to be hurt again. I am covering this team, whether they go 20-9, 9-20. I'll be here, you know? I mean, I just...
You live here.
It's really easy. I do live here. Yeah. It's very comfy down. It's just down those stairs.
This is Sean's living room.
But yeah, it's, I don't know. It does ease up. And I just think that when you, out of the Royals and the Athletics, they're the only team that could actually win 20 games in a month. Like,
but those are the three.
Right. Those are the three teams. I just don't think that they're in that bad of a, I don't think they're that bad of a team. So I do think if they can have this, bad of an extreme, I do think they can have the complete opposite. So we'll see, though. Anyways, that's going to do it. We'll talk to you tomorrow for the pre- and post-game show for the Twins and Sox game tomorrow. Michael Kopech versus Joe Ryan. We'll see you there.